When Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road became Paul the Apostle, the change in him was very radical indeed. The truth of that scripture that tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Certainly was evident from day one in the life of this man. From that time on, his testimony that remained with him, the decades of life that remained in him, is summed up in the words of Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. D.J. Burrell said, quote, Paul's conversion was truly one of the most momentous of history. A famous preacher called Griffith Thomas, he wrote this about the conversion of Paul. Quote, it was indeed the pivot on which not only his own career turned, but the future of the Christian church. Unquote. We're thinking about the man who has written over half the books of the New Testament. The greatest of the apostles, the greatest preacher, the greatest missionary, the greatest evangelist, the greatest theologian in all the history of the church. This man that was converted to Christ on the road to Damascus. Now every testimony, beloved, is wonderful. Paul's was very dramatic. I think I could say safely that none of us were smitten to the ground and saw a light above the brightness of the sun and heard the vocal voice of Christ speak. But I want you to know this, that every testimony of every Christian is just as real as Saul's was. The work that was done in you, believer, by the Holy Ghost is as great as the work that was wrought in Saul. Never forget that. Turn with me just for a few moments to Acts chapter 9. Preachers have preached many times on Paul's conversion, and so have I. And you have heard many times, I'm sure. It's worth repetition. It's worth reminding ourselves of this great event. First of all, I want you to think about a powerful conversion. This man experienced a personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ close to the city of Damascus. Verse 3 reminds us of that as he came near Damascus. He must have been very near. As I stood the top of a mountain, looking down on the Damascus Road one day. And in the distance, and I'm still in Israel when I'm saying this and looking at this, but in the distance, you could see the city of Damascus in Syria. So he must have been very near when this happened. This was confirmed, of course, by Ananias in verse 17. When he put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord appeared to thee in the way as thou came to me. It's repeated again by Barnabas in verse 27. The Apostle Paul himself on three occasions declares it to be this case. Acts 26, 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 15. So there's no doubt about the place, and there's no doubt about the power, and there's no doubt about the person. that's when God saved this man. You see, friend, listen, you can be saved any place. You can be saved in a car park in Market Hill. You can be saved in your car on the roadside. I have had the great joy in my life of leading people to Christ in a pulpit, even over the telephone, in a shop doorway. Doesn't matter where the place is. The thing that really matters is that you meet with Christ. And Saul certainly did that. He literally, you know, he literally saw the light. Acts 22:16 speaks about the great light, or a great light. Acts 22:11 speaks about the glory of that light. For Acts 26 speaks about this light is above the brightness of the sun. Think of it. Oh, the old evolutionist can come along and he can tell you how could there be light in the world, as Genesis 1 tells us, before the sun was made. The Bible says that God said, let there be light. And there was light. But the sun wasn't created until the third day. I think it was the third day. But it was after the first day. And they said, how could that be so? The Bible's wrong. The Bible's not wrong, folks. Because remember that this light that shone on Saul was above the brightness of the sun. There was light ever before there was the sun in the heavens, because God is light. And he shines brighter than the sun. My Lord Jesus Christ, brethren and sisters, men and women, he's the light of the world. And this wonderful conversion of this hate-filled Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, whose sole aim in life was to get Christians imprisoned and put to death. But this conversion happened, and I want you to notice it was immediate. It's not something he grew into, it's something he was born into. With that light from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary love, says the hymn writer. Oh, what a foretaste is mine. An heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood. It all happened to Saul in that moment in the Damascus Road. Tell me, has it happened to you? Do you have this assurance, this hope in Jesus Christ? Not only was it immediate, this conversion, it was individual. Acts 22 tells us it happened at noon. Acts 26 at midday, when the sun was at its brightest. But this light, as I've said, was brighter than the sun. How wonderful a thing is that. Here we see the greatness of God's mercy. You know what Saul deserved? Saul deserved wrath and punishment and judgment. As we all do, brother. We all do. But that's not what happened. That word suddenly that's used in the account is a word that's very often used in Scripture for judgment. In the book of Proverbs it is. Let me just turn to the verse. In Proverbs chapter 6, first of all, I want to read the verse to get it right. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. This is a naughty person. He's called. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. And then, of course, over in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, a better well-known one, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. So the word is used in Scripture about judgment, condemnation and wrath. That's what Saul deserved. That's what we all deserve. But here is to do with salvation. You see, you'll notice that in this whole account of what took place that day, the voice of God is heard. And the word of God is always involved in conversion. Verse 4 of Acts 9. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That word from Jesus Christ's own lips condemned this man. Just as this book from God's own hand condemns sinners by telling them, all have sinned. There is none righteous. The whole world is condemned. You see, we're sinners. Paul had to see this. He had to see and understand that he was a sinner before he could become a saint. And beloved, here's the glory of the thing. He saw it in a moment. I remember my own conversion to Christ. Reading a little booklet. I couldn't see it. And just in a moment of time, just in a flash, not a literal light or a literal voice, but in a moment I saw something that I'd never seen before in my heart. I saw I was a sinner. I was condemned. I was unclean. And in that moment, just like Saul, I came to Christ. You see, sin is really an offense to God. In the book of Psalms, and the Psalm 51, listen to this. Verse 4. Against thee only, have I sinned. Now, you know, in a strict sense, that wasn't the case, because his sin was against Bathsheba and against her husband, that was sent into the hottest part of the battle where he would be killed. But David knew that the actual sin was against God. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Against thee, the only. You see, he had to realize that in a very practical way before he could get right with God. And that's the glory of the thing. That's the wonder of the thing. You see, the Lord Jesus, first of all, indicted Saul of Tarsus. Let him know what he really was. Oh, a Pharisee, oh yes. Religious, oh yes. A great knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, more than probably any man alive. A real scholar. A genius. But a vile and sinful and wretched sinner. And he realized that in that moment on the road to Damascus. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself with his church. He says, as much as you do it to these little ones, you do it to me. Do you ever think of that, my friend? Your ungodly neighbors and maybe companions need to think about this. When they hurt you as a Christian, because you're a Christian, they hurt Jesus. Think of that. You do it to me. You don't want to harm the Lord Jesus Christ, do you now? I trust not. Saul's companions here, Acts 26 tells us, these strong men that were with Saul were struck to the ground, just like those in John 18. When they came to arrest him, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I am a title only ascribed to Jehovah God in the scripture. And the moment he said that, the Bible says the men fell backward. They couldn't exist in the presence of God, you see. And these men fell too. You know what encouraged me as I was reading about this? That the Antichrist, now we can all figure out in our own minds who we think the Antichrist is. Our Westminster Confession of Faith makes it clear that the Antichrist in the church is the Pope of Rome, who will head a super church one day. Is he the Antichrist? Well, God knows. But here's the thing that I know. That there's a day coming when the Antichrist, the Bible says, will be destroyed by the brightness, there's the word again, of his coming. And the Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury and all the leaders of world religion will fall down at Jesus' feet on that day and declare, he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Aren't you glad, Christian, that you're doing that now? Every morning, when I start to pray in the early hours, I'm already acknowledging that. He's Lord. This morning it was still very dark, but there was a light, you see, in this sinner's heart. It was the light of gospel truth. I know him. Praise the Lord. He's my Savior. Powerful conversion. We have to hurry because time is gone. There is here a particular calling. Immediately, Saul is saved. He is submissive. Now, we're not all like that. I certainly wasn't. Not with this willingness. Who art thou in verse 5? I am Jesus. Verse 6, what wilt thou have me to do? I am Jesus. Beloved, listen, that's revelation. So that is. I've been saved now for 54 years. I've never once doubted who Jesus is. Oh, I've doubted, at times I doubted my own salvation. I doubted my own calling to the ministry. I doubted many things. But I never have doubted that he is God, King of my life, Savior of my soul. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That's rebellion. When persecuting Christians he was persecuting Jesus. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That brought recognition. Saul knew in that instant what he really was, what he was really like. And here's the thing. Salvation always leads to service. Not in the foreign mission field, perhaps. Not in the home ministry. Not in full-time evangelism or Christian work. But salvation always leads to service. Every church member, whatever your secular employment, you're in the service of Jesus Christ. That's a glorious thing, you know. Not a big thing to do when he was told simply to go into the city and it'll be told you. That's all the Lord told him. He didn't tell him what was in front of him. He certainly didn't tell him that 40 odd years down the line he was going to have his head chopped off because he was a child of God. It's every day is a step with him. You go into the city, and when you do that, it'll be told you what you have to do. That wasn't a big thing, you know. So many people find it difficult to obey the Lord. Don't worry about the future. When he got there, he had to wait. 3 days without sight. Neither ate nor drunk. I tell you, that's a long time to go without food or drink. I remember when I was a young fella, just what we call about Dungannon a cub. I suppose about 8 or 9, maybe 10. Playing football. A high ball came over and I tried to head it. And as I headed the ball, a fella came at me and lifted his boot and caught me under the chin. And my tongue was sticking out at the time. And my teeth went right through my tongue. My tongue was hanging off. Father had to get me to hospital. And I lay in the little bed in the hospital. And Dad was holding my hand. And I was in some state, I can tell you. And they had the stitches, 7 stitches in my tongue. And almost immediately, that tongue swelled away up till it filled my whole mouth. And it was a day or two before I could eat anything or drink anything. And it was difficult. And you would know that looking at me just now, folks. You would know how difficult it would be for to go 3 days without eating anything. But that's what this man of action did. Paul, Saul, was a man of action, but here he was still. He had to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, you see, shall renew their strength. But notice what he did while he waited. Ananias was told by the Lord Jesus, go into Judas's house. Look for Saul and you'll know him because he prayeth. It's another characteristic of this man of God. He prayed. For those 3 days of darkness and hunger and thirst, he prayed. Do we pray, really pray? Our time is gone. Let me just say this as I close. There is here in this whole thing a protesting character. His name was Ananias. He had a small role to play in this wonderful event. It was short, but it was vital. You know, you don't all have leading roles. Not all going to be ministers, elders, or even deacons, or teachers, or whatever. But we have a work to do. There were 3 men in the New Testament called Ananias. There's only one of them was any good, and here he is. He's called in Acts 9 a disciple. He's called in Acts 22 devout. He's called in Acts 22 again. Had a good report. In other words, he had a good testimony. And that's all he needed to have to be involved here. And I want to tell you folks, that's all you need to be involved. I'm finishing now, for the time is gone. But let's take courage just now. From the life and ministry and work of this great man. Church history tells us he wasn't much to look at. They tell us, and we can't be sure because there are no pictures, of course. But they say he was a very small man and was hunchbacked and had poor eyesight. You think of him going all across the known world carrying the message of salvation, and God blessed it to the conversion of multitudes. You know, it's not, as Murray McShane said, great talent that God blesses. It's great likeness to Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to live like Saul, shining brightly for the Master in these days.